This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
This fine podcast is a proud member of the Rabble Podcast Network, which is a hand-picked collection of Canadian podcasts on Rabble.ca that offer an alternative take on politics, society, community, and life in general. Rabble.ca is a non-profit, community-funded media site, and they need your support to keep going. Please help out at rabble.ca/donate. Your support helps podcasts like this get out to the world.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The University of Victoria has high-profile climate and environmental scientists on faculty and takes care to highlight its sustainable campus projects and environmental work. Yet the university invests pension funds in Enbridge and some of the tar sands' biggest players. The Wilderness Committee is urging UVic to divest the millions of dollars it has in tar sands, oil, and gas companies. Torrance Cost is Vancouver Island campaigner for the Wilderness Committee and a UVic graduate. He joins me by phone this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Torrance.
Hi, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, thanks.
Where exactly does UVic have the investments you're concerned about?
So, I mean, there's all sorts of investments through endowments, through pension funds, and a lot of them are in huge companies in all kinds of different sectors. What's particularly concerning, sort of for me as an environmentalist here on the West Coast, is the money that they have in our domestic energy sector. We looked into their financials earlier this year and found that one controversial company, Enbridge, the proponent of the Northern Gateway pipeline from Vancouver to Kitimat, they have over $4 million invested in Enbridge alone. And in total, they have just over $50 million in other tar sands shippers, as well as the tar sands producers.
And what motivated you to look at where UVic has its investments?
There's a bit of a call starting up. Initially, it started down in the States. There's an initiative of 350.org, a big American climate group, to look into where universities, but also cities, are putting their investments. It's one thing to talk the talk, but some universities, some cities, most of them actually aren't putting their money where their mouths are. And that shift is slowly coming to Canada. You're seeing initiatives pop up on campuses all across the country, and there's a petition began out in Ontario. I believe it has just under 10,000 signatures to petition Maclean's magazine to include sort of an ethical investment category in their annual university rankings, which are taken quite seriously by prospective students. So, I'm a UVic graduate myself, and I'm really impressed with the quality of my education there. I really want to keep that sort of at the front of my messaging. I think the university does a good job of fostering ecological literacy and encouraging environmental discourse. The fact that a lot of the money that I paid in student fees, a lot of the money that is invested for the staff, retiring staff's pensions is going to be increasing from the profits of some of our most irresponsible and environmentally reckless industries. That's not the way that the university needs to lead. That's not the way. That's not their responsibility to us.
How will this impact in the longer term its responsibility to you and the public around environmental initiatives, having this investment in oil, gas, and tar sands?
Oh, if they want to have their money in these sectors, that's one thing. We'd probably be on them if they were making these investments and gaining so much from these industries that so many of their faculty and students are working to stop. The fact that they're doing this while claiming to be an environmental leader, and while words like sustainability and environmental responsibility are on the front page of their website, to me that's disingenuous of the university. So I think in the long term, if if we can publicize this in universities, and not just universities, but sort of other big powerful institutions across the country, it'll be a great way to raise awareness and really make an impact in the push towards sustainability in Canada and across the world.
What form of money does the university have its investments doing this? Like, is it pension funds? Is it...
So primarily the one that's got the most attention is pension funds, because there's a lot of money there. And the university hires a board of trustees who then hire financial managers to invest these funds and move monies around. And right now their only criteria is maximizing return on those investments. And while they, of course, do have a fiduciary responsibility to their pension fund members to get them the best return, they also have a responsibility to do the right thing for our climate. And for them to say, oh, you know, we can't look at that kind of thing. We just have to look at what's making the most money. The Board of Trustees is essentially admitting that the university's doesn't have a role to play in the shift towards sustainability, which I think is a real shame.
What has the university's response been to your demands in particular?
We've talked to the board of or the representatives from the Board of Trustees, and you know basically, and different media has gone to them as well, and basically, you know, they've said it's just impossible, to talk about this. They have to invest in domestic energy. We're looking to get a meeting down the road with the board of trustees. We've come in contact with student groups at UVic who have made the similar push. And tried to get meetings with the Board of Trustees. They haven't had a ton of luck up until now, so we're hoping a few different groups can come together and really sort of put the pressure on these groups that manage money for the university and let them know that we're expecting them to show environmental leadership.
How does this break down? Because pension funds, like, is it under the control of the university Board of Trustees, or is it under the control of the people whose pensions it is, like through the union or through the faculty association? Or
so it's under control of the Board of Trustees. The members, the members of those pensions could make, you know, could put the pressure. They're probably in the best position. So part of the call, part of trying to publicize just how much money the university has in some of these companies is partly to awaken the pension members who might not necessarily be comfortable with their pensions being paid by the profits of Enbridge, to put the pressure on the Board of Trustees. The university, while they don't have direct control, if there was, say, you know, some high-profile faculty members, if the president of the university, who's brand new, the current outgoing president is leaving at the end of this semester and a new one's coming in, and you know, if he stepped up and said they need to be leading on this front, it would make a big statement. A lot of this is about symbolism. You know, if every university, or if UVic, say, pulled all their money out of Suncor, out of Enbridge, out of TransCanada, some of these big corporations, they wouldn't bankrupt them, but it would make a huge statement to show that this isn't where an institution that claims to be an environmental leader is comfortable having money in. A big way this symbolism sort of been manifested recently is earlier this year, the mayor of Seattle committed to pulling all the finances from the city of Seattle with pensions and just with the city's general finances out of fossil fuels, so oil, natural gas, and coal. This is huge. You know, they're the first city to do something like this, and it's not an easy thing to do, but it's so important.
That is incredible. And I understand as well, Vancity withdrew its mutual funds from Enbridge in August following pressure from another environmental group.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a big step as well. And I mean, there's always going to be a lot of pushback. I'm sure there was pushback with the city of Seattle and with Vancity. Last year, a petition at Harvard University, an online petition, got got nearly 72% of the Harvard student body voted for divestment, and the administration just sort of came back with the same sort of arguments that you're hearing from University of Victoria Board of Trustees, just that it's impractical, just that it's too hard. And we're not necessarily going to say it's going to be easy, but it's stopping climate change. You know, it's not supposed to be. This strategy is it's sort of a recycled strategy from the divestment campaign, which was used to cripple the South African apartheid regime. Desmond Tutu was on CBC radio earlier in December, and he said that the divestment campaign there, which was targeted at companies that operated in apartheid South Africa, pressuring them, pulling money from those companies, making it harder for them to operate, and then they, when they looked into the reason for it, they found out it was because their shareholders weren't happy with them operating under that regime. They went to the South African government, and that was a huge part of toppling that regime, as was acknowledged by the Archbishop. So, you know, that would have seemed for a long time, dismantling apartheid would have seemed as difficult as combating climate change. It's not going to be easy, but it's absolutely necessary.
Just coming back to, you had mentioned that UVic employees and faculty are well positioned to challenge the administration around the use of their pension funds. Do you have support from UVic employees and faculty members?
That's the next big steps. I know on social media, just since we've started to make the call for this, on social media there's been a bit of support vocalized by Dr. Andrew Weaver, who's one of Canada's foremost climate scientists, and it's a big point of irony. He's arguably one of Canada's biggest climate watchdogs and climate scientists, and it's possible that his pension could be paid by companies that profit from the tar sands, which are our biggest producer of carbon dioxide emissions. So, you know, so getting people like him on board, getting some high profile faculty members who are globally and internationally recognized in the environmental field, of which there are many at UVic, is going to be critical to the success of this campaign, not only at UVic but across BC and across Canada.
Now, this same question about investment in oil and gas came up earlier this month with regard to BC's public sector pension funds, which are also heavily invested in Enbridge. And the response from one ethical mutual fund manager was that investing in oil and gas is just a fact of life in Canada. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I read that same comment, and I mean that's the attitude that we need to get away from. It is a huge profitable sector, and just about everyone that has money invested in one of these big diversified funds has money in that sector. But to me, that's just it's just sort of an excuse, you know, to say it's too hard. It's a fact of life, you know. It's basically ceding control over everything to the oligarchy, and I don't think that's a positive attitude to have, especially for institutions like a university. They have to be held to a higher standard. They have to be leading a progressive shift towards a sustainable climate future. And for them to just say, "Oh, it's a fact of life," we can't accept that. We have to demand that they show more leadership than that.
What's the next step? How can people help support this campaign? And like you said, there are next steps.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the difference. I mean, you know, my parents, for instance, have RRSPs, probably managed by the big funds. A, they have far less money than an institution like the University of Victoria, and B, they don't market themselves and brand themselves as a climate leader. But I think the more people that go to these financial management institutions and demand more ethical investment options or fossil-free investment options, the more that's going to be taken seriously. I think some banks offer an ethical investment category, or as you mentioned, there are the ethical investment funds that exist. But again, they don't class things like tar sands as non-responsible investment. Whereas, you know, there's nothing less responsible than rampant rapid expansion of the tar sands in terms of a sustainable future. So for next step, I mean, the more people that are conscious of this, the more people that are aware that that our accumulated wealth can contribute, can be invested in helping that sector expand, and the more people that are questioning the appropriateness of that and whether or not they want to be a part of that, the easier this will go, and the bigger splash we can make.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us, and we wish you the best of luck in your campaign.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with Torrens Kost, Vancouver Island campaigner for the Wilderness Committee.